In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So, signs for Jews, Gentiles, seek wisdom. What do you seek? What does it take for you? What about our world today? Seems to me that it is quite a bit less sophisticated than what met the which the Jews desired in terms of signs and the Greeks in wisdom. In fact, what is it about which our generation is passionate about? Passionate seems to be just the opposite of what our generation looks for. A disengaged, passionless sort of individualistic, entertainment-centered sort of experience. Yes, I think that our generation seeks entertainment. And it is in terms of a passionless whatever for everything else. A passionate, not even apathetic, that seems to be too strong a term for the passionless whatever. It's not important. The ultimate criteria is it entertaining? Not is it moronic, not is it interesting, but rather is it entertaining? Even with religious experiences, the religious orientation of people probably find more in common with a ballpark than they do a cathedral or a church. I think that it's very significant that it was Mark McGuire who was the first to welcome the Pope into the Kiel sports arena. What difference is there, experientially speaking, what difference is there between where most people experience the cult and liturgy of a ball game and the cult and liturgy of a youth gathering or of a celebration of a religious sort, whether it's the Pope, Billy Graham, youth convocations, and so forth, seems to have more in home with the ballpark. So much so that the church is challenged to meet the expectations and communicate in the medium, which seems to be very effective in and acceptable and enjoyable by most people. So our church sanctuaries begin to look like ballparks, they begin to look like sports arenas. As for the sacraments, it's not so much bread and wine anymore. It's not a cross made out of heavy wood, but it's transformed into styrofoam. Crosses of our own making, styrofoam, holding the Eucharist of beer and pretzels. Styrofoam crosses, foolishness, shallowness. And yet, as Paul deals with signs and refers to wisdom, is he totally rejecting these things? The Jews asked for signs, and God gave them signs. Moses said, they will ask for something, what am I going to tell them? What am I going to show them? Kind of as an excuse, a deflection for his own, building up his own confidence and faith. And God gave him signs, not very pleasant ones. How pleasant was it to pull his hand out and see it leprous? How pleasant was it to see his staff turn into a snake? But there were other signs that were rather odd and noteworthy. The sign of Abraham and Sarah pushing 100 and being promised not only with one child, but the descendants as the millions and billions of stars. And then there was the sign of Jonah, a ridiculous sign, a recalcitrant prophet stuck in the belly of a big fish. This is what God sends? This is the foolishness, the ridiculousness that has its ultimate culmination with a man hanging on a cross, suffering excruciating pain. It's a matter of blood, sweat, stench, and tears. It's the darkest day, the darkest, the weakest. This is the folly of God. What shall we offer? Paul says this is what we offer, no matter if it's to the Jews who are demanding signs or wisdom that the Greeks seek. It's the foolishness of the cross which we preach. How can we compete? Well, what about wisdom? Wisdom that people, that the Greeks seek. This is not antithetical to sophisticated intellectual pursuit, but it's rather that there is more to Christ than superficial thought or expressions of faith in a kind of random or rote sort of way. I believe that I was first intellectually challenged beyond the stage of catechism at a time when I hadn't read any religious literature that was not published by CPH. This was in a high school, probably the second year, in a course in English composition, I believe. It was a public high school. And one of the readings in there was a short excerpt from Martin Luther King's speech. Very, very effective and dynamic. I had never read anything quite like this. And I believe it was on the same page or in the same area where there was a section, a snippet of C.S. Lewis' Mere Christianity. This one woke me up. I had never heard anything quite like this. And especially at first, I was distracted by the title, Mere Christianity. I sort of took that in the sense of barely Christianity. But in fact, mere Christianity. And I saw this, and it just had the most profound impact on me. That there is, in religion, something that can be quite interesting. Not just something to be believed, but one that can also be articulated in many different ways, in poetic, aesthetic, intellectual ways. But I'm not sure that the populace will be swayed anymore and finding that challenging or positive. Again, I'm sorry, but it seems that our generation seeks philosophy not from the philosophers or the theologians, but from the ball players. Now, I'm not picky just on ball players because I've got some sort of axe to grind, but it's just my observation that, in fact, our culture and our people in the world do ask for the same things that Paul is speaking about. It can be generalized. People seek signs, people seek philosophy of a sort. One that is entertaining and one that has an impact on them. One that seems to be successful. One that seems to give them security. One that makes them winners. One that makes them feel good about themselves. Yes, symbols such as the number 70. Wisdom such as you can do anything in life as long as you stick to it and are determined. Again, we preach something quite different than that. But I would like to relate a personal story to you that reflects my understanding of the weakness of God compared to the strength of people, of human wisdom, and so forth. And it does involve a baseball game. I hesitated and I thought back and forth on this whether I wanted to actually relate this story because it is very personal. Other times from this pulpit I have related personal stories, but it was more not about me, but rather I in a symbolic sort of way. But this one shows a lot about myself. As many of you know, I have subnormal vision, and I've always had subnormal vision. In fact, I thought it was normal until some doctor came along and said, "You can hardly see." It was news to me. See compared to what? Well, compared to other people. What they can see at 800 feet, you can see at 20 feet. I could only get past the first E, the big letter E pointing in the right direction. Well, the school children that I went to school with, my classmates in a Lutheran grade school, were just terrific about trying to include me in as many sports and events as possible. They were just wonderful. And I had always dreamed of playing baseball. And so we kind of conspired together and said, you know, where can I fit in? And it was determined it would be right field, because hardly anybody hits out in the right field, and they would tell me to go back far enough so I wouldn't get hit on the head. Well, on this particular time, this was the time. There was only one occasion. So I had my glove and I was out there. Somebody hit a ball, and then people started yelling at me. I went like, huh? It's hard to believe, but the ball actually landed in my glove. Now, how shall I interpret this? I consider it a miracle that it didn't hit me on the head. Other people would consider it a miracle if I had the glove open and the ball would have stuck. But no, it didn't. It bounced off and rolled away, and I had to run and scamper after it. Now, so a miracle, I think, would have been if I had caught the ball. So instead of a miracle, it was a sign. It was a sign that baseball was not a career that I should plan about. It was the last time I played baseball. But it was a sign, I believe, from God, that he was saying, I've got other plans for this boy. He can't see well enough to play baseball, so he's going to grow up to teach Hebrew. Well, that does reveal a lot about myself. But I'd like to ask you, what about you? What sign have you seen? What sign have you heard? What wisdom have you found? This illustrates to me that in the weakness that we have, God's foolishness is stronger and overcomes our weakness. In fact, works through it, doesn't discard the signs, doesn't throw out philosophy, but keeps us focused on Christ and the cross, on the weakness of God. The weakness of God is stronger than any strength of any individual or collective whole. This is what we have to offer to the world. And it is the cross of Christ, which is that agonizing, passion-laden, passion-full, pathetic event. The pathetic experience of Christ suffering the wrath of God and the indignation of people, being despised. Who has believed our report? This is just totally absurd. This is foolishness. This is moronic. That's what we offer to those who seek signs, to those who seek philosophy. It is the foolishness of the gospel. Praise be to God for such ridiculous folly. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.